sister is an alien. I don't know what happened. I really don't know. We would like to know, because members are going to, you know, be on top of me if we don't get that explanation. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Mkhize. Mkhize used to be my colleague somewhere, but comrade colleague, we're not going to talk about that.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and honorable members of this esteemed select committee of the House. Thank you very much indeed. We're very pleased as NEDLAC to have an opportunity to come and share with you an account on our activities for the year 2008-2009, and also share with you our own frustrations, challenges, and what is it that we think we need to put in place in order to deal with some of the challenges ahead of us. So the presentation, as the chairperson was indicating, is a pretty long one. But we're not going to go through each and every slide. So some of the slides are for information, so you may, at your own leisure, perhaps go through those slides. And I'll try to club it, perhaps, in the next 45 to 50 minutes. Very briefly, NEDLAC is the seat of national social dialogue in South Africa. And it is, in many respects, a uniquely South African model. I've seen a number of models around the world on social dialogue. Some of them in the world are called, internationally are called economic and social councils. There is nothing really that I've come across that looks like the South African model, so it's unique in many, many respects. It was set up through an Act of Parliament, the National Economic Development and Labour Council Act of Act 35 of 1994. It remains really a contested terrain of ideas, and NEDLAC recognizes that there is no social partner that has a monopoly of solutions. Inherent in social dialogue, therefore, that it takes time. And some people become so irritated by the very fact that we take time before we could finalize processes. That's the nature of social dialogue. It's about partnerships, working partnerships, that is. I must say upfront that NEDLAC does not have branches in provinces or at local level. We only have one structure, which is located at national level. So it links directly with the executive, in other words, the cabinet. So we deal primarily at the level of the executive or the level of cabinet. There were some ideas earlier on in the life of NEDLAC and suggestions that perhaps we should set up provincial NEDLACs, but that idea did not fly. It was shot down by the very NEDLAC constituencies themselves, and I will explain that as I move along. So don't be disappointed if in this presentation nothing prominent comes up in terms of the provincial dynamic or the provincial dimension of NEDLAC. I know that this committee will be very much interested in knowing the impact and the correlation between our work and the provinces. So don't be disappointed if that does not become prominent in this presentation. It's in the nature of this beast. It's located nationally, and that's it. Now, the NEDLAC principles for government, the people who sit in the Executive Council, we have Minister Deutsch, the Minister of Public Works. He serves on the Executive Council of NEDLAC. We have Minister Pravin Gordhan, PG, the Minister of Finance. He also has a seat in the Executive Council of NEDLAC. We have Dr. Rob Davis, the Minister of Trade and Industry. He also has a seat in the Executive Council of NEDLAC. And then we have the Minister of Labour, who does not only sit in the Executive Council, he is also the executive authority in NEDLAC, and is also the overall leader or coordinator of government business in NEDLAC. So he's the man who carries more responsibilities amongst the government team. Then we have organized labor. Dennis George, who represents the Federation of Unions of South Africa. We have Manene Samela, who leads the NACTU delegation, and we have Zwelinze Mabavi, who leads the COSATU delegation in the Executive Council. And then for business, we have André Lambrecht, who is the national chairperson of the Business Unity in South Africa. He, together with Brian Malisa, as the president of BUSA, the two of them lead the business constituency in the Executive Council of NEDLAC. And then we have the community constituency, Ruth Bengu, the president of SANCO. She leads the community constituency, or SANCO, as it were, in the NEDLAC Executive Council. We have Laura Kanyaho, who leads the Women National Coalition. We have Mike Katoni, who leads the Disabled People of South Africa. And we have Tulani Chefuta, who leads the South African Youth Council in NEDLAC. We do have two other constituencies who are not appearing there. The first one is the National Cooperatives Association of South Africa, NCASA. They are also led by Tulani in the council. And then we have the Financial Services Sector Campaigns Coalition, which is led by Soli Mabaila. There are two women there, Madam Chair. Then we have the overall conveners. Here's another woman coming, Madam Chair. The overall conveners. Now, these are the people that take the responsibility for the day-to-day operations of NEDLAC. For labor, we have Begin Jalinchali. For business, we have Professor Raymond Parsons. And for the community constituency, we have Lulama Nare. And then for government, we had Les Keldas for quite a long time as an acting DG in the Department of Labor, but he has since been replaced by Jimmy Manyi, who is now the DG in the Department of Labor. So if there is anything wrong with NEDLAC, these are the people to blame, because these are the people. This is NEDLAC, as it were. I'm merely a servant of this Executive Council. So that's NEDLAC, very national. There is no semblance of provincial representation at all. And in part, Zwelinze Mabavi argues that by him being at NEDLAC, he also carries mandates from the provinces by virtue of the fact that their provincial structures report to the COSATU CEC, and then the positions that are articulated by the COSATU CEC are national positions of the organizations, of the organization that he represents. The structure at the glance, we have business, labor, government, and community. So there are four constituencies in NEDLAC. Unlike the international model, where economic and social councils are often tripartite, and in some instances even by bipartite-type organizations, we are tripartite plus one in that we do have the community constituency that comes into the loop. The government in NEDLAC is represented by and large by the Department of Labor, the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Public Works, and National Treasury, and other departments get called into NEDLAC as and when issues that are relevant to their respective departments become placed on the agenda. And then we have the community constituency, which is represented in the main by different coalitions on sectorial basis, so women are represented by the Women National Coalition. Of course, that's what they tell us. They represent the voice of women in NEDLAC. The National Civics Organizations are represented by SANCO. Youth is represented by the South African Youth Council. Disabled people are represented by DPSA, and cooperatives and financial services sector. Once a year, we hold a national summit, which is chaired by the presidency. The last summit was held in September 2009, and it was chaired and addressed by the President of the Republic of South Africa, Zuma. It brings together about 300 delegates. This is where we report back as the executive and as the Executive Council on the activities of the institution. If NEDLAC was a corporate, this would be our AGM, as it were. And then we have the Executive Council, and I've just painted the people who serve in the Executive Council. There are seven. 72 members who serve in the Executive Council. All the four Dentalek constituencies have equal representation on the council. No constituency has a formal veto. All decisions of the Executive Council are taken by consensus. Then we have the Management Committee. The Management Committee, it's an 18-member committee that oversees the day-to-day operations of the institution. And then we have chambers. Now, this is where the actual social dialogue takes place. It takes place in the chambers. We have four chambers in NEDLAC, and I'll talk to them a bit later in terms of what they do in the next slide. Governance of NEDLAC, we are a statutory body by virtue of the fact that we are funded from the Department of Labor's budget. The Minister of Labor is the executive authority and overall convener of government in NEDLAC. We are made up of four constituencies, and no party has a formal veto. It is made up of mandated representatives of the four constituencies. For an example, the criteria to become a member of NEDLAC is that you've got to be a national organization. You've got to have national structures organization, and you've got to have capabilities and demonstrate capabilities of formulating mandates from provinces all the way up to the national level, because it's only mandated national organizations that are represented in that land. We are governed by all public finance regulations, including the Public Finance Management Act. We have an independent secretariat that administers the processes. That's where I fit in the bigger scheme of things. I'm the head of this secretariat. We report to the Portfolio Committee of Labor at least twice a year, depending on what the interest of the Portfolio Committee on our work is. We haven't really structured our relationship with the NCOP, and we need perhaps, as one of the action points going forward, perhaps to structure that relationship and institutionalize it. I mean, if we are required to come and report to the NCOP at least four times or two times a year, it's something that needs to get into our schedule. So I'm very keen that we do that going forward. Because I must say that when we don't get joined the Portfolio Committee, we often look to the NCOP to rescue us. And now, it would be funny when we have a problem in the Portfolio Committee and then we call on the NCOP and the NCOP says, where have you been all along? You only remember that we exist when you have problems. So it's an issue that we need to try and formalize. The chair of NEDLAC structures, or the presidency of the NEDLAC structures, rotates among the social partners on a quarterly basis. So for an example, January to end of March, that's the quarter that is chaired by business. So all the NEDLAC activities that falls in that first quarter are chaired by business. So business assumes the presidency of all NEDLAC activities in that quarter. The second quarter belongs to labor. So the quarter April to June, that quarter is chaired by labor. So the labor constituency becomes the president of all the NEDLAC operations in that quarter. The third quarter is chaired by the community constituency. So that quarter belongs to the community constituency. And the last quarter of the year is chaired by government. We are having an executive council meeting on the 27th of November, and it's going to be chaired by the Minister of Labor, because that's a quarter that's allocated to the government constituency. The real engine room for NEDLAC is in these five key policy work streams. We have the Trade and Industry Chamber, six labor representatives there, and we have six government representatives and six business representatives. They also do have six alternates, just to make sure that if the principal six representatives aren't present, at least they can draw from the alternates to serve in that chamber. That chamber deals with, in the main, investment policies, industrial development policies, and trade policies. So when Minister Davis announces the government stance on trade, industrial development, and investment policy, those policies are informed by the processes that takes place in NEDLAC, and in particular, in that particular chamber of NEDLAC. And the lead government department in that chamber is trade and industry. Then we have on your right, the Labour Market Chamber. Again, in the Labour Market Chamber, we have three constituencies that are the main participants in that chamber, and all of them have equal number of seats in that chamber, and there we deal with labour market policies. All the labour market policies are dealt with in that chamber. And quite interestingly, every single piece of labour legislation in this country was developed in that chamber of NEDLAC, from A to Z. Even the crossing of the T's and the dotting of the I's were all developed in that chamber. So all the NEDLAC, all the labour market policies, therefore, in this country are as a result of a deal coming out of that work stream or that chamber of NEDLAC. So you might ask a question, why do we then have maybe business complaining about the labor law in this country when they were part of the deal? I mean, it's something, of course, that if business complains or if labor thinks that the current labor law is not strong enough to deal with some of the challenges, they say that knowing that, of course, they were part of the deal. They were part of the deal of making these laws in this country. But, of course, what might be relevant today in law may not be the next day. So laws are not absolute. You've got to revisit them from time to time and deal with what sometimes they call unintended consequences of brilliant laws that we have in this country. The lead government department is the Department of Labor. And this is one department that has not failed us in terms of ensuring that they bring every piece of policy proposal or every piece of legislation that they want to introduce in Parliament to NEDLAC first. They've not failed us so far. We don't know going forward if they will be consistent. And then we have Public Finance and Monetary Policy Chamber. What we deal with there is fiscal and monetary policy. So when the Minister of Finance tables the budget or tables the MTEF at the end of October each year, it's often not an issue that the NEDLAC social partners hear for the first time. They have an idea as to how government was thinking and what are the kinds of issues that government was likely to zero in on when it comes to fiscal and monetary policy. So we engage with the minister, we engage with the department, with the National Treasury on all issues relating to fiscal policy. This is one chamber where the issues are not easy. These are very difficult issues that are often dealt with in this chamber. We also have the monetary policy aspect in the chamber. And here the governor of the Reserve Bank is an ex officio member of the Executive Council, so he gets invited at least once a year to come and engage the NEDLAC social partners on monetary policy and all its aspects, the exchange controls, interest rates, and inflation targeting, and whatever you may want to call it. So those things do come to NEDLAC. Again, in this chamber, six representatives from each constituency, equal number, and the lead government department is National Treasury. Then we have at the bottom of your right the Development Chamber. Now, this is the only chamber in NEDLAC where all four constituencies participate. As you can see, community features for the first time in this chamber, so they only participate in that particular chamber. This is the chamber that deals with the social dimension of macroeconomic policy or policy in South Africa. So they are meant to be this is the chamber that almost operates like the NCOP. I sometimes call it the NCOP of NEDLAC, because this is the committee that will then come back and say to the Trade and Industry Chamber, the policies you are developing does not take into account the social dimension and the social challenges in our country, and therefore we are not going to be able to sign off on what you are proposing. It also goes to the Labour Market Chamber and say the labour market policies that are developed in the labour market chamber are not taking into account the social dimension, as it were, in the country and the social challenges in this country. I mean, quite interestingly, the natural alliance between labour and community often gets tested when it gets to labour market policies and when the unemployment dimension kicks in, because more often than not, it is that chamber where the constituency, particularly the community constituency, will ask questions such as, okay, we've got a brilliant labor law in this country, but what elements of this law are talking to the unemployed? And there you really have a very robust engagement, as it were. It deals with the developmental aspects. So when you're talking about housing in this country, that's the chamber that will be seized with that issue. If you talk about comprehensive social security, that's the chamber that will be seized with that. So out of the five key strategic government priorities going forward, most of them, bar two, will fall under that particular chamber. Crime will be an issue that is dealt with very much in that chamber. Rural development, land and agrarian reforms will be some of the issues that will fall very much in that chamber. And then we have a fifth work stream in NEDLAC, the standing committees. I'm going to start from the bottom and go up. We have Teseliko. Now, Teseliko is a trade, it's a trade subcommittee of NEDLAC. So when you hear government articulating a view at WTO or a view at bilateral trade negotiations, that view is developed in that standing committee. So the Minister of Trade and Industry brings all the issues to that standing committee to develop country positions on the various multilateral and bilateral trade negotiations. I mean, Angola came to South Africa 2 years ago to confirm this because they did not believe the former minister, Mandisi Mpahlwa, that his mandate was derived from NEDLAC and in that committee. They came specifically to confirm that. A high-powered government delegation from Angola. We prepared, we made them cakes. When they arrived, they said, look, before you give us a presentation, can you confirm this? Is the government position on trade developed in this institution? We said yes. They said, well, in all its aspects, we said yes. Then they said, thank you very much. They wanted to leave. I said, no, but we still have to tell you about how this organization works. They were just not interested in the other stuff. So it's an important, right now there's the ministerial towards the end of November until the 2nd of December of the trade ministers on trade issues, and NEDLAC will also be part of that delegation. The NEDLAC constituencies will also be part of that government delegation to Geneva to deal with some of those issues. Then we have the demarcation standing committee. This is a standing committee that deals with disputes arising out of demarcations of bargaining councils. It's a standing committee. It deals very much. It works very closely with the Department of Labor and the NCCMA. Then we have the most important standing committee in NEDLAC, the Section 77 standing committee. Now, this is the standing committee whose job, simply put, is to provide protection to workers who seek to participate or to engage in socio-economic protest action. Simply put, this is the committee that gives effect to the constitutional right of workers to protest without the fear of being dismissed for having participated in a protest. It's a powerful standing committee. And Khalidi here and I, we serve in that standing committee. Now, there's a very fine line between what is socio-economic dispute and what is your workplace collective bargaining related dispute. Very, very fine line. If a trade union files a Section 77 notice with NEDLAC wanting to protest because the company does not provide uniform, we would not, as the Section 77 Standing Committee, provide the protection if that union wants to embark on protest action. We would not give them that protection. So they have the risk. Those workers who participate in that protest action will stand the risk of being dismissed. But if the workers who transport money on a daily basis, now the cash and transit workers who transport money, come to NEDLAC and file a Section 77 notice and say, in the course of performing our duties, they got caught in a cash in transit robbery and an innocent bystander was shot by the robbers. And then they say, look, they would want to protest in order to make sure that the Minister of Defense and the Minister of Police make sure that innocent civilians are not caught up in a crossfire, which comes about by default as a result of carrying the work of transporting cash. That the Section 77 committee will provide, will grant protection for workers who want to participate in that. So there's a very fine line as to what is it that this committee will grant protection and what kinds of issues this committee would not grant protection. Chair, I'm going to pick up space now, paste a bit of pace so that we, I just wanted to paint this at the beginning so that at least we know where we come from. We are about building partnerships. We are about addressing agent challenges. So we're not about dealing with everything, and we are about lending a hand by securing a commitment and active participation of all constituencies in dealing with the issues that confront us. Our mandate, simply put, is that we strive to promote the goals of economic growth, participation in economic decision-making and social equity. So in a way, we are one of the many institutions in this country that seeks to translate the people shall govern into reality. And we do that by ensuring that there's broader participation in policy decision-making in this country. We take decisions by consensus. We consider all proposed labor legislation before they are tabled in Parliament. And this we have done very well in the last 14 years of our existence. And we consider all significant changes to social and economic policy. So if the executive wants to introduce new policy, they have to bring that to NEDLAC before introducing it to Parliament or implementing it. And we also encourage coordination of policy formulation. Our modus operandi, the tools we use, is negotiations, consultations, information sharing, research, and the Section 77 activity. The process in NEDLAC, very briefly, is that the tabling of policies, of proposals in NEDLAC, is governed by an agreed protocol. So there is a protocol that is agreed. There is a document that I brought along, some copies, which you can have a look at. The publication is called NEDLAC Founding Documents. In there you will see the NEDLAC Act, the NEDLAC Constitution. You will also see the protocol of tabling issues in NEDLAC, which I must say was agreed by all four constituencies. So government has no excuse. If they don't want to table issues in NEDLAC, they have no excuse why they shouldn't be doing that, because they were part of that deal that said this is how we're going to be handling these matters. Government tables its program of policy and legislation in NEDLAC, often in the first quarter of the year, of the financial year, and labor, business, and community constituencies also can table issues in NEDLAC for discussion. So in the main, that's broadly what the process is. Once there is a deal in NEDLAC, that deal is binding to all parties. Binding to all parties. In other words, government cannot then come to Parliament and reopen what was agreed at NEDLAC. It's only Parliament that can reopen it by virtue of Parliament being the final arbiter in policy making. But government, the executive, labor, business and community can't reopen something that was agreed at NEDLAC when they get to Parliament. It's only Parliament that does that. I mean, in particular here, when for an example, we concluded the Labor Relations Act in this country in NEDLAC. Now, given the fact that that act was a deal, a package deal, we had to come and brief the Portfolio Committee on Labor to say, look, this is a package deal. We understand that you have sovereignty on these matters. We respect that sovereignty. You have the ultimate authority. You can change anything you like in what we're putting before you, but we just want to alert you that if you don't like what is in Chapter 1, might actually have a consequence, if you choose to tinker with it, to what is contained in Chapter 6. Because sometimes you find a concession in Chapter 6, but a trade-off to that concession is somewhere in the middle of the Act. So if you tinker with anything, it has a potential of unraveling the entire thing. We were fortunate Parliament understood that, and we were able to put the law through. We brag sometimes that in South Africa we have this forum, and we hosted the Zimbabweans not so long ago, about a month ago, as NEDLAC. They were hosted in actual fact by the Department of Labor and the ILO, so they came to get a sense of how NEDLAC works. when we said we still have, we have challenges in NEDLAC, they said, well, give us those challenges, we can deal with them. We just want an institution like this to deal with some of the challenges in Zimbabwe. So we boast about the fact that we have a forum where we can talk about any issue, even on issues where parties don't agree. I think the labor broking is a classical case in point, where there are people are at their throats in the meetings in NEDLAC. They're fighting. They're calling one another names. But when they walk out of the meeting, they are friends. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing. They still live together. But NEDLAC provides that platform for us to engage on difficult issues. And the fact that we don't agree does not mean that parties that just go away. We have also brought in a greater degree of accountability. So for an example, if a labor delegate comes into NEDLAC and articulates a particular view, and only to find that the workers in Mpumalanga are not aware of this position, when the workers in Mpumalanga challenges the positions that are articulated in NEDLAC, we have Zwelinzi Mavavi to call upon to go and explain that. So it's a high degree of accountability. When we have business, especially small businesses, that complain quite often that the positions articulated in NEDLAC are not necessarily the positions that some of the SMMEs at local and provincial level hold, we call on the leadership of Buddha to say, can you go and explain that? Because when you came to NEDLAC, you told us that you carry a mandate of business. So it brings in greater accountability, and it helps us also to deal with something that wouldn't have been possible if NEDLAC was not around. And of course, we've developed a sophisticated modern industrial relations system. In the government, in the Department of Labor, there are many, many institutions. I mean, just a couple of them to give an example. We have the Employment Conditions Commission, we have CCMA, we have the Commission on Employment Equity, we have the UIF, we have CETAS, which until recently were in the domain of the Department of Labor. Now, the point I'm making, in all of those institutions, representation in those governing bodies are representative of all NEDLAC social partners. So in the UIF, you would find a labor sit there, business sit there, also shaping. In the Employment Conditions Commission, you will find labor, and business, and community serving in there. In the National Skills Authority, you'll find all the NEDLAC constituencies having a sit there. Something that used to be an exclusive preserve of government. In the past, it's only government people who serve in those structures. But with the advent of NEDLAC, we have representative governing bodies. CCMA. CCMA is governed by all the social partners from NEDLAC. And what becomes a bit more important is that it is NEDLAC's responsibility to nominate people to serve in this body. So the minister does not just wake up and cherry pick who he or she likes to serve on a government statutory body. There's people serving on government statutory bodies are nominated by the NEDLAC social partners. And this has helped us a great deal to reduce threats of policies being challenged using the courts of the land, because it brings in a broader buy-in, as it were. We do have challenges, though, which the delegation from Zimbabwe said, well, give us these challenges. If we have an institutional network, we wouldn't mind to have challenges like this. But for us, of course, we take these challenges very, very seriously. I'm not going to go through them, Madam Chair. What has happened last year, because that's, I'm getting into the bulk or the gist of what we were called to do, to account about what were our activities in the period under review, 2008-2009. I think the first crisis or the first issue that consumed our energies was the electricity crisis in the year. I mean, the country was on the brink of collapse in January 2008. The president, the immediate past president, who's now the deputy president of the republic, summoned all the NEDLAC social partners to union buildings, and he said, well, we have a crisis in the country, how do we deal with it? We had load shedding, as it were, and of course, coming out of some of these issues is that we now have a national stakeholder advisory council on electricity, and its job is to find remedies to the energy crisis in this country. So we were seized with this. We convened an energy summit comprising of all social partners in South Africa to hammer out what should be South Africa's approach and response to the economic crisis. The task is a big task. We're far from finishing the task. And we do have the framework, but in terms of translating that framework into action, it's a medium to long term process. The second crisis or the second issue that was very prominent on our radar screen was the rising food prices, and COSATU took the initiative of raising the ante on this issue by submitting a Section 77. But we soon discovered that the intention was not necessarily to embark on a protest action, but they wanted to bring the parties together in order to examine if we can't find solutions. And of course, government came to the party in terms of what is it that could be done to deal with the rising food prices. The second issue that was prominent on our program last year was the increased number of bills that were either on their way to Parliament or already before Parliament. This one is particularly the challenge for NEDLAC. That out of the 60 plus bills that were before Parliament in this period, only half of them were tabled in NEDLAC, which goes against the grain of the protocol. That all policies that government wants to table in Parliament, that the executive wants to table in Parliament, they first have to be tabled in NEDLAC. So in this particular case, some government departments ignored totally that commitment to table issues in NEDLAC. We just woke up the next day with a number of bills already in Parliament, despite the fact that they had first to be tabled in NEDLAC. So we had a big issue with this. And it created a problem for us. And when we asked some of these departments why they did this, they said they did this because the old parliament indicated to them that if the bills were not in parliament by a particular date, then those bills would not be dealt with by that parliament, but they would have to wait for the new parliament post the general elections or the national elections last year. So there was this rush then to bring bills to parliament. So we had to call on the leader of government business in Parliament to help us, and it was the Deputy President Khalima at the time was playing that role. So we met with the Deputy President Khalima in her capacity as the leader of government business at NEDLAC. We met with the Chief Whip, we met with the Chair of Chairs, and the Councillor to the Presidency, to deal with this problem. And our delegation, the NEDLAC delegation, was led by the Minister of Labour. We succeeded, to a large extent, to prevent some of these bills from going ahead. Some bills were shelved, some were withdrawn, and in some bills that were too far down the road in the parliamentary processes, we were given a special opportunity to engage the relevant portfolio committee. Major success for us. Now, some of the portfolio committees had difficulties with this. Whilst they sympathize with NEDLAC, that government departments have brought the bills in Parliament before first tabling them in NEDLAC, was not actually the problem of Parliament. It was a problem of the executive. But also in terms of the rules, the two sets of rules that govern the operations in Parliament, the NCOP and the assembly rules makes no mention of NEDLAC as being the prerequisite for the executive before tabling issues in NEDLAC. All what is required in Parliament is for a government department to indicate who they have consulted on that bill before bringing them to NEDLAC. I mean, there were even instances where some government departments actually went to an extent of lying that they did consult NEDLAC. They didn't realize that we were going to be given an opportunity to come to Parliament, and we picked up a number of these misrepresentations. Now, what we then proposed in that meeting was perhaps Parliament should seriously consider either putting something in the rules of parliament that makes it a prerequisite for government departments to indicate whether they have consulted NEDLAC on all the bills that they are tabling in parliament. Because without that, it doesn't give parliament the authority or the opportunity to ask such questions. Or if parliament could develop an annex to the rules that stipulates that each government department, before tabling a bill in parliament, must indicate if NEDLAC has been consulted on the matter. So we're still dealing with that issue. We're dealing with that sort of protocol at NEDLAC, and once that is done, we will indeed be bringing that to, we'll be engaging with the leadership in parliament, as it were. Now, some of the things that we dealt with in the period under review, some of the policies we dealt with in the period under review, and some of these bills that ended up in parliament without first being tabled in NEDLAC include some of the ones that are on that screen. I'm not going to go through each one of them, but some of them are again resurfacing, as it were, and we are now dealing with them in NEDLAC. I think the next issue that took our time or that occupied our space in NEDLAC was the WTO, especially the Doha Round, which at some point was said to be in the ICU, the intensive care unit, almost dead. And at some point they said it was dead, it was actually in a mortuary. We are told now that it's actually in an ordinary ward, so it's recovering. WTO is now resuscitating the discussions on finalizing the Doha Round. We were told as recent as yesterday that ray of hope that the Doha Round was being revived is also in trouble. For an example, the ministerial that is happening towards the end of November, Doha Round is not even on the agenda of that WTO ministerial meeting. The ambition from the WTO is to finalize this round by June 2010. Extremely ambitious. But it does not look like that is going to be possible going forward. There are basically two issues in the Doha Round that is in the center of the statement. The first is the non-agricultural market access. EU and other countries, they want to have access to other economies, particularly for their manufacturing products or manufactured products, industrial products, things that are non-agricultural. They want more access to our market, and the developing countries are arguing that as long as the EU and the US are not keen to move on removing subsidies to farmers on agricultural products, then developing nations are not very keen to move on non-agricultural market access. So in the main, these are the two issues. These are the two issues that are threatening to collapse the Doha Round, and this is where the focus of mind is now amongst the member states in terms of finding a solution to the Doha Round. And the solution seems to be still very far in the distant horizon, as it were, if one looks at the current positions that countries are taking. So this is one area that occupied our space. We had to call impromptu consultative conferences in order to shape, as the issues were developing in Geneva, we were calling meetings in order to shape how South Africa should respond to some of those developments, as it were. Of course, in this period, we also had to compete with the elections. It was an elections year, and in some instances, as you saw in the first slide, the members of the Executive Council, in the main, are political animals as well. Excuse the pun. But they are very politically active people. So we had to can two Executive Council meetings because the key Executive Council members just couldn't make it. They had to choose between campaigning and coming to a NEDLAC Executive Council. The Executive Council of NEDLAC was no match in that contest. No match. So some we had to can some of the Executive Councils. And of course voting that came in into the loop. And then the next point that became very key in our radar screen was the global economic crisis. where again the president of the republic summoned all of us to union buildings and said, look, there is the global, and at the time it was the global financial crisis, to say, look, there's the global financial crisis, what do we think South Africa might be, or how do we think South Africa might be impacted on by this crisis? And we painted a couple of scenarios, and then he gave us an assignment to go and develop a South Africa's response, which we then did in a record time. I think we did it in 6 weeks. We did it in 6 weeks, that response. It was signed off in February at 10 Hayes by all the social partners, and then we were given the task of developing action plans to give effect to the framework. In December, we thought the process to develop the framework was hard. We thought it was difficult. But we soon realized that actually developing action plans is even more difficult than developing the framework. So it's even harder now. And there were a couple of prioritized sectors that were impacted on quite heavily. Because later it developed into a global economic crisis. And now it's actually the recession. So it's becoming worse. So developing these action plans has also become extremely difficult for us to put together. The autos, we're dealing with them, and we're very much advanced in terms of finding responses to the auto sector on how to deal with the crisis. Clothing and textile, we also have a deal now at a sectorial level. DT government, labor, and business, we have a deal now in terms of how to deal with the impact of the global economic crisis, the clothing and textile sector. And of course, and many other interventions that we had identified, we are far down the road. The challenge, though, is that in February 2009, we thought we will be done with developing action plans in 6 weeks. That was in February when we said that. We're now sitting in November. We're still nowhere near finalizing some of the action plans. So the landscape where we are is becoming even more complex. Because we've also realized that what we may develop that NEDLAC at a national level may not be talking to the challenges at provincial and local level. It's for that reason that Mpumalanga recently launched their own response that is informed by the provincial dynamics and the local dynamics from the Mpumalanga province on how to take the broad framework that is developed in NEDLAC into real, relevant, timely, and timely action or responses for the province. They even went to an extent in Mpumalanga of, for the first time, launching their own NEDLAC at the provincial level. So that was done quite recently. I remember I was one of the guest speakers there. But they have a NEDLAC now in Mpumalanga, and it's located in the office of MEC Jabu Mahlangu, and the champion is the premier. Excellent stuff. They are responding to it. They are responding to the crisis. KZN has also moved on. They have had some conferences towards early in the year of finding ways of how the province deals with this issue. For a simple reason, that the province has huge auto presence, I think Toyota, very big. And the responses that are crafted at a national level may not necessarily be talking to the unique and peculiar problems at the provincial level. So we are seeing more and more of this. Of course, the other issue that took our time and occupied our landscape in NEDLAC was the xenophobic attacks. So we had to find ways of how to deal with it, how to respond to the crisis, as it were, of the xenophobic attacks, given the fact that we have all four social partners in South Africa, stakeholders in South Africa, that could find ways if they put their heads together. So that's what actually occupied, in addition to our own work program for the year, those are some of the issues that occupied our space. And then in terms of the 5+1, the five key policy work streams and program for us, we did a range of things. And this, I'm not going to go through this on a line-by-line basis, but we will just summarize what are some of the issues that we dealt with in the period 2008-2009. Extremely successful year, extremely busy year, given the fact that there were issues that were never contemplated were going to be an issue for us in this year, but we had to deal with them. I mean, xenophobic attacks, nobody knew they were going to be this last year, but we were called upon to deal with this electricity crisis. Nobody knew there was going to be electricity crisis, and it was upon us, and we had to deal with it. The global economic crisis, nobody knew it was going to be upon us. We had to deal with it. So in a way, we deviated from the program that was adopted, and we had no choice but to deal with some of these issues. So these are some of the issues that we dealt with in the year under review. And I'll take questions of them or any questions for clarity in terms of unpacking some of them. But for now, I'll leave it at this, that these are some of the issues that we dealt with in the period under review. They really occupied our time. In the labor market policy, we dealt with those issues, which are captured also in this slide will give a broader explanation in terms of where the issues are at. The National Key Points and Strategic Installations Bill was one of the bills that was very difficult, and in fact, the NEDLAC constituents felt that it was badly written, and it was one of the bills that had to be withdrawn by the previous parliament, and we were excited about that as NEDLAC social partners. Because Parliament did not have to do this. Parliament could have decided in any other way it deemed fit, but Parliament gave us an audience, and I think we made a convincing case, and hence that one was withdrawn. But of course, the executive authority was not very nice to NEDLAC after that. They said, look, we messed them up. They wanted to deal with certain things. Labour broking was an issue that has been in NEDLAC, but called differently. It was called the changing nature of work and the atypical forms of employment. Been with NEDLAC since 2004. We haven't been able to make headways. It has come back now. But now it's labor broking and outsourcing. And I think it's becoming a bit more critical, as it were. There are disagreements, but we're talking. Decent Work Country Program, it's an issue that has been with us also for about a year. It featured in the previous year. We've completed the first phase. We now immense with the second phase. And we're particularly pleased as NEDLAC that this is one aspect that found its way into a number of election manifestos of the various political parties, and it became an issue, and it's an issue that informs our strategies going forward. These are some of the issues we dealt with. Perhaps the insolvency bill, that on insolvency, quite more often than not, the workers are not considered high up on the list of people that must be paid first when the company goes for liquidation. And it's a huge problem. So it's a problem that requires the law to be tweaked in such a way that not only financial institutions are high up on the list of creditors that must be considered first when companies are being wound down, but also the workers must be part of the list of the first people that are considered as it were. So these are some of the issues that we're dealing with. The Single Public Service Bill is another bill that came to Parliament. And we came to Parliament and made a case that it's a badly considered bill. It can't be signed off by Parliament in its current form, and we called for it to be withdrawn. And indeed, we scored here one more time. Parliament said indeed we were talking a lot of sense, and that bill got withdrawn. And the next one was the Superior Court's bill, and again, there it was an issue that not only the NEDLAC social partners were challenging, but also the judges and practitioners in our law fraternity we're also looking at. So I'm going to skip the labor market policy. This graph just captures, in terms of broadly, the labor market landscape in South Africa with a particular slant to unemployment. Of course, I'm talking here 2008-2009 first quarter. Things have changed dramatically. The latest statistics from the labor force survey indicates that the country, we're really moving towards 25% official unemployment levels in this country. Close to 1 million workers have already lost their jobs just in this period, as it were. So the question of unemployment is becoming a huge challenge for all of us. But we're also particularly pleased that the unofficial statistics on how the expanded public works program is working, particularly against the backdrop of the president's announcement that government wants to at least achieve job opportunities, 500,000 job opportunities by the end of the year. The figures are looking very good so far. We I mean, it can be said that we're on track, as it were, but those figures are still very informal. They still need to be verified, but the EPWP is doing extremely well, at least to meet the President's announcement or promise or undertaking in the State of the Nation address. Liquidations are on the increase. The global economic crisis is beginning is telling on us, and as you can see, we're having some problems there. Now, the problem, of course, is that some of the provisions in our labor law does not take into account liquidation. For an example, in the labor law, if a company can retrench workers, and there's a section in the law that deals with how to deal with huge retrenchments, I think section 189A and section 189, it deals with those issues. But it does not. The law does not deal. Our labor law does not. At the time did not anticipate that liquidations were going to be one of the factors that will give rise to job losses. So there's no provision in the law. I'm hoping that as we review the labor market policy and the labor market law, we will find ways of how to take that into account, because it is really becoming an issue for us going forward. So I'm going to skip that. Trade and Industry Chamber, the chamber that deals with trade policy, industrial policy, and investment policies in this country, SMMEs and all of those, will very much fall under this category. We dealt with, among others, the cooperative strategy. We still haven't finalized the cooperative strategy, by the way, but it's an issue that we want to finalize in 2009-2010 period. We dealt with the BBB codes in terms of ensuring that they at least are in line with the broader policy trust. Fisheries policy, we're still very much dealing with that issue, and it's further complicated by the restructured administration, in that when this issue was part of environment and tourism, now it also features in agriculture in a new department. So we're trying to find our feet in terms of where exactly do we begin to deal with these issues. And these issues are mainly raised from the coastal regions, the Western Cape. They have communities that use fishing as part of their subsistence. So if you tamper with the policy there, you will be actually killing the entire community that depends entirely on fishing. The quotas are becoming an issue and so on. So there are huge social dimension issues here that needs to be looked at. So it's pending because we're still trying to find the right department to deal with and the way forward. The National Industrial Policy Framework is becoming key now, particularly as a result of the global economic crisis, because it's threatening to de-industrialize our economy. Energy bill is becoming an issue. Eskom has just filed an application for tariff increases, 45% for the next 3 years. Huge. What are the implications of this to the cost of doing business in South Africa? What are the implications of this to the government's stated objective of rolling out electricity to the broader society, access to electricity? What are the implications here? So we need to be creative here in terms of thinking about where to go from here. Never mind the goings on in the energy utility, which also might just complicate the discussions and the way forward on some of these issues. So with your permission, Chair, I'm going to jump into the next chamber, if you allow, but we'll take questions on the other chambers. I want to move into the development chamber, the chamber that should be behaving, everything being equal, in a similar way as the NCOP, the most powerful chamber in NetLand, but the most weakest in reality. Most powerful, very weak. It's the weakest chamber. Oh, no. Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. But this chamber is the most powerful. Powerful in paper, but the weakest in terms of ensuring that all the policies that are driven by the executive authority and all the policies that are signed off in NetLand takes into account the social dimension. I mean, the other three chambers, sometimes they have fun. I mean, they just push in issues and the issues go through. Without this chamber making sure that those issues talk to the social dimension, as it were. I mean, what is the social dimension challenges, for an example, on the Superior Court those. Huge, they're huge. You just have to take time out and look at those social dimensions. But what's going to happen when we finalize considering that bill? Chances are that government, labor, and business will vote for sign-off in NEDLAC, and that chamber would say we support. Most likely. It's a problem. It's a problem that we're dealing with, and it's in part a function of capacity in that chamber. Or in part the function of not unleashing real capacity. Because capacity is there in the civil society. It's just a question of tapping into that capacity that exists there. But we dealt with a range of issues in the period under review, land and so on. I'm going to jump also, Chair, but perhaps just give you the broad picture. One of the issues that this chamber needs to be dealing with is the anti-poverty strategy. It's driven by the Deputy President of the Republic, and it's an issue that we need, and this is what poverty is doing in this country. I mean, you just have to look at, in South Africa, the purple bar, the number of poor people in millions. It beats all of them. Percentage of population in poverty, the brown bar, per province. I mean, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, KZN, Free State, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga, they lead. I think where there is the least of poverty is in percentage to the population. Perhaps you will find that in North West and Gauteng. But this slide tells us the things we should be dealing with, and what are the instruments to deal with poverty. The health instruments are lying in the other three policy work streams of NEDLAC. They lie in the labor market policy work stream, they lie in trade, investment, and industrial policy work stream, and they sit in public finance and monetary policy chamber. So the question is very easy for the development chamber, is to start asking these questions to the labor market policies. To what extent is the labor market policies helping us to deal with poverty, unemployment, and so on, those challenges, as it were. Chair, with your permission, I would like to jump all the way to what we see as the financial statement. But in terms of questions, we can deal with them. NEDLAC is funded by the Department of Labor in its entirety. So all our monies come from the Department of Labor without exception. In the NEDLAC Constitution, we do have a provision that we can raise funds from outside of government, but we have not attempted to do that. So we rely entirely on the Department of Labor's support when it comes to finances. Where you find other income is merely that's rental from Proudly South African campaign, a campaign that is located in our building. They pay rent to us. Although, of course, they are our project, but they pay rent to us. And part of the 458 for this year that we received was out of interest. We had a deficit this year. In the year under review, a deficit close to 3 million, 3.2 million. That deficit was in part as a result of those activities, those crises that were never part of our plans, but which we ended up having to drive. The global economic crisis, the electricity crisis, the food prices crisis, xenophobic crisis. Those were the issues, and also the bills that ended up in Parliament without first being tabled in NEDLAC. We had to bring down to Cape Town about 10 senior leaders from the NEDLAC constituencies to come here to engage with the leader of government business and the chief whip on some of those problems. Given the volumes of the bills that were before Parliament, and given the generosity of portfolio committees to also invite NEDLAC to come and brief the portfolio committees, it meant we had more people coming to Cape Town in that year. We ended up with a deficit, as it were. So that's how we were. We had a clean audit with just a couple of matters, management matters that were raised by the auditors. which of course we are on top of now in terms of dealing with some of them. And one of the matters, of course, was that we deviated from our step plan. We said, why did we deal with the energy crisis, electricity? We said, what should we have done when the constituencies were saying to us, we must deal with that issue, that we had no choice but to deal with it. And besides, it's part of our brief. So the crisis, nobody planned for it, we had to deal with it. So the auditors did raise that issue as a matter, but we're dealing with that issue. The auditors also raised an issue that we need to see if we can't get more money from government, because definitely in the last 2 years, for the first time in 8 years in NetLAC, we've begun to see deficits. Perhaps it's a signal that we perhaps now need more money in order to do what we are supposed to do. Challenges, much closer to the end of this. For some strange reason, 2008-2009, parties in NetLAC were extremely adversarial. So in other words, they were fighting. People were taking tough stances on their positions. So it was hard to crack concessions in this period. When we thought, core determination was in the near horizon, last year it was different. I don't know what it was for. When we talked to some people from outside, they said, it had to do with Polokwane. Some are saying, it had a lot to do with many other things. That's why attitudes were hardening. So it was difficult in NetLAC in the previous year. Parties were just not in the mood of striking deals. I think the second challenge is tight time frames from government departments. Last year we there were instances where government departments tabled a bill in NetLAC with 2 weeks to finalize the NetLAC process. Crazy, absolutely crazy. It's impossible to do that. And the government sequencing of processes at times becomes a huge problem. Now, some government departments insist that they will not bring a policy to NetLAC until it has been signed off by Cabinet. Now, what they do, they take a policy to Cabinet. Cabinet signs off. When they bring it to NetLAC, it's a fait accompli. Because these officials are reluctant to go back to Cabinet to change positions which come up as a result of the engagements in NetLAC. What our view is that it's fine. Take positions to Cabinet. But the positions you take to Cabinet must still allow the officials room to negotiate in NetLAC. So they take positions to Cabinet and they come up with tight mandates, and they don't want to be embarrassed, Madam Chair, to go back to Cabinet for a new mandate. So then what happens, we go through all these processes and the end product looks no different from the first proposal that was tabled in NetLAC, which makes nonsense of social dialogue, as it were. It's a huge challenge for us. Forum hopping. In the previous administration, we had close to 5 presidential working groups. Now, constituencies, and I think if I was in the shoes of constituencies, I would do the same. They will choose where to take up the issues. And they will choose where they think they will get more mileage. For an example, they will take a NetLAC process in a presidential working group. We will lose out at NetLAC. They will often go to the presidential working group to lobby their positions instead of bringing the issues to NetLAC to be engaged upon. So it's some of those issues. These are some of the challenges. I'm not going to go through that much, but perhaps one of them is that constituencies are overstretched. I think the early days of NetLAC was easier because we were dealing with broad architecture of policies in the 4 policy work streams. So we may be looking at labor market policy architecture. We were looking at trade and industrial policy architecture and fiscal and monetary policy architecture, broad architecture. We were not dealing with strategy. Now what is happening in NetLAC is now we're dealing with the strategy part, and it's highly technical. And also the kinds of people that are participating in NetLAC now are more your technical people. Now, technical people are more difficult than political people. I think political people will just tell you, this is what we want, broadly. if you give them something that tells them that this is what we're going to get, it's fine. But technical people, they start nitpicking and it's becoming a bit hard, and constituencies are stretched. So you do find a Mike Tyson and a four-year-old in some discussions in NetLag, where labor is a four-year-old in some instances and business is a Mike Tyson, and you can just see that labor is getting a hiding because of the unevenness of capacity. There are also instances where labor is a Mike Tyson and business is a four-year-old, and you could see the unevenness. So there's this unevenness and constituencies are overstretched. And then what you find is that because in constituencies, all of them, other besides government, all other constituencies, they have the same person who deals with labor market policy, who's an expert, who deals with trade and industrial policy, who deals with public finance and monetary policy. It's the same person who they trust. A trusted lead negotiator is the same person. Now, what happens if NetLag convenes two meetings on the same day to deal with labor market policies and trade? This person can't make the other meeting, will only make one because it's one person. So they're very much overstretched. It's one person attending all meetings, and it has an impact in terms of the way we do our work as well. Some interventions that we're looking at is that we did a review of NetLag, an independent review. There are recommendations there in terms of how do we make NetLag work, and we're pursuing that. We want to fast-track that. Greater agility in decision-making. Huge problem. Business constituency turnaround time to get a mandate from all their members is huge, unbelievably huge. Labor's ability to take decisions quickly, very huge. Big turnaround time is huge. You might easily end up with saying, look, the operation was very successful, but the patient is dead. Just because the processes to get mandates is so long, so we can do a perfect job in the NetLag process, but to get to a final conclusion of an issue might just be too late. I think the classical example is this global economic crisis. We said we needed to finalize all the processes in 6 weeks. We are now in November. We're still dealing with it. And already there are people talking about the green shoots, that some economies are turning around now. So by the time we deal with the last chapter of the global economic crisis, there will be no crisis anymore. The crisis would have been solved. We will still be dealing with the last chapter. So that's the problem for us. These are some of the key priorities going forward. The global economic recession is a big one we're looking at. The medium-term strategy framework of government, because we want to align. The government program of action 2009-10 is also a source for us to look at what are the key issues that we could drive from there. The decent work country program, labor market, labor broking and outsourcing is an issue. And then, of course, the issue about the national health insurance scheme, which is very much in the public domain, but not so much in the policy, in a coordinated policy work stream, is out there. The Minister of Health has signaled to us that as soon as Cabinet signs off on something that they could put up for policy engagement, they will table such a policy discussion in NetLag. Education and skills development, I think there is more operational issues because skills development has now migrated from the Department of Labor to the Department of Higher Education and Training, so we're still finding our way there. Rural and agrarian reforms is a big issue for us to look at going forward, and strengthening social dialogue. Madam Chair and honorable members, I rush through this in order not to eat into your question time. It's a long presentation, as it were. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for the information that you've just shared with us. Honorable Sibande, Honorable Mlenzana, Honorable Groenewald, in that order, Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you, Chairperson, and then also I'd like to thank the department for this information. And for the first time, I'll protect them in one thing. About the issue of the reports, I think if we can all just check in our emails, because due to me, I don't know how, what happened, I've gotten the report in the clinic. And thanks, and then I'll start with the question. You see, chairperson, there is a concern which I'd like to comment with before I start ask questions about the issue of, I don't know whether it's ignorance or whatever in most of the departments. I'll be specific. I'll make an example. No matter the presenter alluded to this matter, but the issue of reports to, I'll make an example, in governance, you indicated that there were reports to portfolio committees of labor, and then also in NEDLAC, time and again against reports against or again to brief the relevant portfolio committee on the NEDLAC. You see, to me, I'm a little concerned how some of the people, they do perceive the select committee. Really, it made me to doubt some of the things how they perceive the select committee. Yes, you are correct. It mustn't be seen that a person must have all the relationship only if there are crises so that we can rescue. No, that is not accepted. We are still a house. We must be recognized. People must know about it. And then come to, that was my comment, it must be corrected. Because my worry is one, when during the input, you can make your input, but if you check in your documents in the paper, there's nothing which is related, associate ourselves, the select committee, with NEDLAC. Everywhere the thing is mentioned, referred to the portfolio committee, portfolio committee. That means there's something wrong. Because in a nutshell, a person who doesn't know what is happening, if he can come across this document, it means that select committee does not exist at all. Then come to the question then. As a person, I would be very much grateful if maybe they can indicate about the powers, because he indicated that in Mpumalanga province have established a network. But I'm not sure about the powers which are going to be given in that particular regard. And also, how are they going to synchronize their own responsibilities? Because we know that like national, now there is like in Mpumalanga province. Because my worry is that most of the time, systems are not talking to each other. And then... another thing which you alluded to is the issue of WTO and Doha House. That it's true that European unions, most of the time they want access to our products. While my concern is that in the past, Africa was regarded as a dumping place most of the time. Now, what will be your approach in order, because what I'm scared of, no matter developing countries are full in arms trying to defend that issue, but there is a tactic which they are using to separate the strengths of the developing countries. I'll put an example. You'll find that there are a lot of agreements which are being signed. Like within the SADC, we'll find that they've signed already agreements with Mozambique, they've signed with Swaziland. And then also with the ECOWAS, they've done the very same thing. What role can be played by NEDLAC in that regard to make sure that we move in one pace? And then also, I've got a concern about this global economic challenge. I'll put an example in the issue of clothing and textile. In clothing and textile, we must not make a mistake about the issue of China in particular. What is the role which can be played by NEDLAC in order to make sure that they protect local clothing and textile? Because what is happening, I'm subject for correction, you can go anywhere. Listings of China's are everywhere because they've categorized them. they are with the very, very low prices, and they are where they've bought some of these franchises from the other agro kings. And then I will make another two before I give to our other colleagues maybe to ask some questions about the issue of this thing of brokers. What is the progress on market labor, on labor market policy reviews, specifically with regard to labor brokers in the view of a public hearing which was conducted by the parliament? You see, my worry is one, we like it or not, from the different perspectives, in particular in other parties. We said we wanted to correct of some of the activities which were happening in the past. To me, the brokers, they are not different with the very old scheme of people buying slaves. Because to buy slaves, the person, I'll put an example with the Zanzibar issue. It was discovered sometimes now recently that people from Zanzibar, it's a lost, they regard them as a lost nation. Because of the very same thing, system which is nearly like the brokers. They were taken in Mozambique. They were taken by the British by then, taken to Zanzibar. From Zanzibar, they were taken again. Somehow are they in Chestworth, in Natal. They don't know their identity because of those things, of activities which are similar like labor brokers. So if maybe we can elaborate on that one, because this is worrying me. And then lastly, so that I can give. Okay. I've started to comment. I only asked two questions, only three now. But let me leave it. Let me leave it to other colleagues. Okay, fine. Okay. The final one is that, what are the challenges of the Cooperatives Act number 14 of 2005 on labor standards? I'll leave it like that. I'll come to the next one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks,
Honorable Chairperson. I'm laughing because I heard this question that Honorable Zwande is asking when he is landing. But with me, I want to ask it more on a lighter note as to what lessons did the public hearings give you based on these political differences that is raising, and also were you convinced that these were public hearings in the true sense of the word, public hearings, or was it a question of targeted audience? But as I'm saying, with me, it's more on a lighter note. If you are not ready, I don't want to put you into the tight corner, understanding how volatile this is. So you would just indicate if you are not ready, say, and I would accept. I have got only four questions. Very brief, yes. On slide 79, there you on challenge. There is this persistent challenge that you are raising. So you would, you know, coin it in many ways as you carry on with the presentation. Here in this slide, you are talking forum hopping, and you link that with the reluctance by some government departments to adhere to the protocol. With me, forum hopping is one, but the same thing as reluctant. So one, if he is not reluctant, would do all these sort of things, making late submission so as to avoid the NEDLAC to be able to apply its mind and all that. Because we have got this responsibility, Chairperson, of oversight, Is it not possible that we can get details of which are the departments? And even with social partners, if we could get that. Then, on slide 52, I just picked you on your comment. I had made, let me, Chairperson, also, you know, before I go further, commend NEDLAC for having given us enough time to go through the support. When good work has been done, we have to say thank you. We commend you for that. We had enough chance of going through this documentation. I had prepared questions around this, but your comment now around the development chamber made me to scratch all those questions, but now left with only one question as to what is then your plan to try and strengthen the chamber, because it's clear. It's useless beginning to ask a question when we're told that it needs some kind of strengthening. On slide 52, the talk there of dealing with obstacles. I wanted to note it. No, 52 was that one on this. No, it's 42. Sorry, 42, not 52. Promotion of SME. I see that you are saying the investigation on obstacles it's still underway, it's pending. But one would like to know when you say pending, how far. Are you beginning to get lessons? And from such lessons, when you are saying pending, are you saying to us, at some stage, you will see an investigative report which begins to say these are the lessons that we learned, and these then are our, measures that we are putting in place. So as to begin to deal with that. Then the last one, Chairperson, on slide 33. There you are dealing with black economic empowerment, and there is that measurement, that column which deals with the measurement, where you're saying to ensure that the benefits of black economic empowerment are broad based and you cap fronting. I was more interested in capping fronting as to what measures are in place to deal with this sketch of fronting. Are you able to begin to say, yes, we are there now, these are the measures? Thanks, Chebeka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I've got a couple of questions and maybe some comments to make. In the first place, you told us that there's not so good a relationship between you and the NCLP. I want to know what is the reason. Why are there no good relationship? Why are there no good communication between us and NEDLAC? I'd like to know what is the reason for that. And if we go on, it seems to me also that the communication between NEDLAC and government is also, there's also a breakdown sometimes, if I listen correctly. My impression is not the same as what the representative told us, but I want to know what is the reason. Yes, I wrote in every page. I'm on slide 58 now. Yeah, let me first go to 29 and then 58. 29, it is the landscape and in period on the review. You've said here, we are busy reaching the target about job creation in South Africa. The president and make announcement in the beginning of his term of 500,000. But in the meantime, there's so many job losses in South Africa, and I think we are close to 1 million now from he make his announcement in Parliament. And you've said, but we are busy reaching our target. And I can't agree with it. Maybe we have new jobs, we create some jobs, but on the other hand, we lost these jobs. I want to know how to bring you these two together. I can't agree with you that we're doing well at this stage. I agree that's not our fault. Maybe it's not our fault. That is the economy of the world is in a bad situation at this stage. But you make this remark, and I want to know what you mean with that. Okay, then we are on page 58, and that is the poverty, and maybe that's just a comment. I say poverty is going hand in hand with education. So we've got a big problem in education in South Africa at this stage. If you are looking into the curriculum, then it's on, then it's off, and then the minister make announcements. So it's a whole of a mess. And in the meantime, that is a generation, maybe it's two generations, is going down into the drain. We are playing with people's lives at this stage, and we can't afford it. And I want to know here, what is the input NETLEC are going to have in the education system, in the new education system? Are you going to sit with these people, or are you going to be involved in the new education system? Is there will be one? I do not know what is going on at this stage in education. It seems to me it's a mess. Let's see. Okay, and then if we look at the slide 79, now that is about the education system, the relationship, what is the relationship of education, and then the challenges. I've got also the feeling about the relationship between NETLEC and government. Sometimes I feel NETLEC tell government what to do. Maybe I've got it wrong, but that is the impression I've got, and it's not government who's running NETLEC to tell NETLEC, listen, you must help here and you must do that. So it's otherwise. The NETLEC is telling government what to do. I think also in the interventions, communication between all the departments where NETLEC is involved is very, very important. Without communication, there will no success. So we must communicate with each other all the time so that we can hear what's your problems, how are you going to resolve the problems. But if there's no communication, if there's a communication breakdown, everything will be falling apart. And then the key priorities, slide 83, and going forward, I already asked the one question here, what are the inputs NETLEC going to have in education? Also in the budget, if we're looking into the budget, the assets you have, and that is in this annual report of you, page 135. If I'm looking there, I saw non-current assets are property, plants, and equipment. If you can just tell us a bit more, what is that? What is the property you have and the plant and the equipment? I want to have more information around that. Okay, and then the current assets, I think they haven't got a problem. Thank you, Chair. I think I'll stop there.
thanks, Chair. Let me also thank the department, that NEDLAC, for the presentation. I think I'm going to start with the structure under constituencies, under in labor. I think there was this marriage between NACTU and FEDUSA. I don't know what has come out of it. So now what is going to happen if there is that merging between those two organizations? We'll be having three representation as it stands in that document, or it will be two. I just need clarity on that one. And also, we have been told that decisions there have been taken through consensus in NEDLAC. Now, I want to understand what happens if there are divergent views, more especially on the issue of labor brokers, because I know there's not going to be an agreement on that one. So what happens? And also on the issue of public hearing, as NEDLAC, do you also make submission, or is it the submission will also come to you as NEDLAC? And the last one, just a comment. You know, there is this bad perception when it comes to parastatals on the institutions that have been supported by government when it comes to financial matters. Especially you'll find that there's mismanagement of funds, corruptions, and so on. It does not augur well. In your statements, you are working under a deficit. It means it's mismanagement of funds. I understand there are issues that we, and which came unexpectedly. But now how do you go on using funds that you do not have? The president said you should cut wastage. You must cut your cloth according to your size. And now you are just making use of money. Today it was $3 million deficit. Next day it can be $20 million. So it means to somebody who's doing finances, you say it's bad planning. Because I think if you are budgeting, you should be having unforeseen expenditure. So that in such instances, you can use that money when you meet such difficulties. So maybe I will get a comment on that one. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to apologize for being late. Thanks, Chair. Okay. I would like to know from the department, the National Committee planned to hold 7 meetings in the year under review of 5 meetings. The National Summit on the Literacy Crisis and the Social Compact on the Crisis. I mean, we are in a crisis. When was this summit held? And what was the outcome? Couldn't NEDLAC advise or see danger coming? It would just be interested to see the report on the review, because I think it's very crucial. And then on the same page, unintended consequences of the Cooperatives Act on labor standards. What is that? Why unintended? Can you just explain us what is that, please? And then I move to human resource management development. Okay, human resource management is quite an important function in a department. I saw you say it is a relatively small organization composed of 21 employees. The table, Africans 15, Asians 1, colored nothing, whites nothing, disability nothing. Why? And what are you intended doing about it, please? Lastly, correct me, you also subsidize proudly South Africa, but now it shows like a profit that you get rent back from them. Actually, you're getting your own money back. Am I right? Just give me clarity on that one as well. And then, okay, let's leave it there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's really shows that I was wrong when I said the document that I placed, member state kept and I apologize for that. I remember last time we were supposed to present to us, and because of time we didn't have time to talk to each other. But Honorable Mlenzana, the question that you asked on what is NEDLAC doing to strengthen the development chamber, I had that question. But also, I want to know from NEDLAC, do you, when the bills are in Parliament, do you monitor the progress from when the bill is being presented from you to from you to Cabinet, or from Cabinet to NEDLAC, then to Parliament? Yeah, Cabinet to you, then Parliament. From the when the bill is introduced in Parliament, do you monitor progress? And when the bill comes to you also, do you look at the gender part in the bill? Because if I look at the structure of NEDLAC, I don't know whether you do advise even this chamber to also make sure that they are gender sensitive when they put leaders in place. I know we forget sometimes that there are women that should lead. Like if I look at the structure here, it's all men. We've got only two women, and then the third one, Nari, Miss Nari. Yeah, Nari. It's actually very worrying. But I understand it's not NEDLAC making to have this. But do you, as NEDLAC, have a gender policy that can guide these other chambers and government departments, and also the trade union movement? Thank you. The last one, no. The last one, you said there is this NEDLAC in Mpumalanga. I'm actually very worried how the information goes down to not only Mpumalanga, but to all the provinces. The information from NEDLAC, how do you monitor that? If you say Nkosatu is the D, that is looking at informing the provinces. How do you make sure that this information is really going down to the provinces? Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thanks for the questions and the compliment. Let me give some of them a step, and Temi Ngosi here is going to help me with some of the difficult questions that have been raised. Okay. Let me start with the easier ones. And one of the easier ones is communication. Now, and I want to deal with that one, and I'm going to use this slide to deal with that one. Now, these are the people you have in the Executive Council of NEDLAC. And these are the constituencies in NEDLAC. They are part of the NEDLAC processes. Now, what I don't understand is, if we have those ministers from government, those general secretaries from Labour, those two gentlemen from business, and about six from community, NEDLAC will still be required to report back to their constituencies of what's happening. They are part of the meeting. And when they come to the meeting, they say they represent their constituencies.
then I don't see the logic why I should still be going back to government and say, well, your leaders have decided on the following. So there is no communication breakdown between NEDLAC and government because government is part of NEDLAC. Okay. Now I was still dealing with this dimension of the question that we can't really. They are part of NEDLAC, so they can't be communication breakdown. It's impossible. They are part of the meetings of NEDLAC. They are part of the deals. They were even part of the protocol that determines how issues are handled in NEDLAC. So they are part of that deal. They're part of it. Which makes my life much easier, of course.
Can I get clarity?
Yes.
We're not talking about the government. When you're talking about government, the government, to me, the government is the executive. What about the parliament? If you say the communication, we should be given the communication by the executive, who are part of government. What about the parliament? Because we are the parliament.
No, honorable member, I'm talking about government. I understand the difference between the two. I understand that very well. So it settled the part of government. I think that settled that part because there was a question about, look, there seems to be miscommunication. That could possibly be the reason why they are not tabling issues in that leg. That I understand. That part is out of the way. Secondly, why do we always talk portfolio committee, and not NCOP? Because it gives a bad impression. It gives an impression that NCOP does not exist. Now, let me explain this. NEDLAC does not request to appear before a portfolio committee. It's the portfolio committee that requests NEDLAC. In fact, it doesn't request, it actually demands. To put it quite frankly, it demands that we must come and report on a particular subject. So that's the reason why we have met more with the portfolio committees, not just Labour, others as well, than the NCOP. We only appear before the parliamentary structures on request or on being summoned by the parliamentary structure. So I think that's why I was saying in my introduction, we need to find a way of how we fix this. We must find a way of how we fix it. But it's been a one-way thing. And we don't become excited when we are called to Parliament. It's not an invitation that you look forward to because it's tough. We get these kinds of questions, difficult questions. But it's Parliament that calls us. We come. When Parliament calls us, we come. We even shift things on our diaries, we come. Perhaps that's what this NCP needs to be doing. And we must just institutionalize how often we're going to meet and fit that into our work schedules. We did come before the NCOP when we had problems with ones we wanted to help from the NCOP. And in the other instance, we were just reporting back in a similar way. But we are not meeting with the NCOP as regularly as we should. That I want to acknowledge up front. And we need to fix it.
Also to add that maybe members understand how many committees that we have. So that's the difficulty we find ourselves in, to keep on calling one department, one institution, or parastatal at a time. Because really we've got many, we still have telecom, woman. So that's why we will, but the communication, I think even from now, on our own, if you want, we'll get the contact details of Mr. Mkhize so that we communicate regularly.
Okay. Gender in NEDLAC. Now, I think we must make a distinction here between NEDLAC as in social partners, because that is NEDLAC, and NEDLAC as in the secretariat, the league that I run. I can account for why there is gender imbalance for the league that I'm responsible for. I cannot account why those chaps chose to bring those people. All what I did, all what I do in my office is I tell them that there's an executive council member meeting and there's a vacancy in the executive council. Can you please send me the name of someone who's going to replace or is going to fill the vacancy? If they send me a man, I can't say, no, you can't send me a man. So I'm at their mercy. Because they choose people that participate in the executive council using their own internal criterion that I'm not privy to. So that's different. I've got no control of that picture up there. Where I have the control is a question from the honorable member there in terms of the diversity in the secretariat. There I'm in charge. I mean, if that does not reflect the policies in the country, I'm quite happy to take full responsibility for that. You are right. There isn't a single white person in NEDLAC in the period 2008-2009. We had in previous years, they ran away. We don't have a colored person. We didn't have a colored person in the period 2008-2009. We had, and it was a colored lady for that matter, which would have given us even more points. She also ran away. It could be a reflection of management in that sense, maybe the way we do things. But the gender in NEDLAC, in the secretariat, is excellent. In fact, out of the 21, only 4 people are men. The rest are women. In fact, it's even painful. We need to fix it. There's too many women. What are the plans to deal with those groups that are not currently represented? We wanted to fix this, in actual fact, in this year, but then the global economic crisis came in. We were given an allocation. Government, Treasury said, well, we need to get some monies back. And as things stand, and we've got a deficit, a point that I'm going to come up to quite soon. So as things stand right now, this is what we are. And we're going to be remaining like this, but we acknowledge that there is a problem. We acknowledge there's a problem, and we need to fix the problem, as it were. So that's where we're at in terms of the demographics. I mean, we understand it. It makes us uncomfortable, and we will find a way of how to deal with that one. How do we monitor progress on the bills that are being considered by Parliament? There are two ways in which we do this. The one way we do it is our own efforts. We work with the PMG. We also have access to the parliamentary website information that gives us a sense of where things are going. And we request portfolio committee chairs. And I'm using portfolio committee. I know it irritates you, but that's a fact for now. Hopefully. I think going forward, we're going to fix this. We're going to start talking portfolio committee and select committee going forward. Yes. Yes. Okay. So we use the chairpersons of portfolio committees and select committees going forward to ensure that we get an update on what is going on. We also do request from time to time an opportunity from the chairs of these portfolio committees and select committees going forward, an opportunity to get an audience so that we can brief. Because it's useless for us to only come here to tell you about what happened in 2008-2009. I think we must periodically be telling Parliament what we're doing, maybe on a quarterly basis, that, look, we said we're doing this, this is how far we are. So I think the suggestion to develop a plan is well. So we try to monitor. We try to monitor the processes from the time when the bill is introduced in Parliament, and we often get an opportunity also as NEDLAC to brief committees in Parliament, and I think going forward also constituencies individually also do come and present in their own right as constituencies. So Labour will get 2 bites. They will bite as Labour, and they will also have a second bite as part of the NEDLAC constituency. So I think on that score, we're very much on top of those issues. Gender, I think again here, Madam Chair, the Development Chamber should be the chamber that ensures that in all bills and all policies that are tabled in NEDLAC, gender mainstreaming is accommodated. But because the chamber is not as strong as it should be, so those things sometimes they miss the point. I mean, nobody raises those issues. And in the community constituency of Labour, there is the Women National Coalition, which is supposed to be the champion, I want to submit, for gender issues. So we rely on them. So if they are found wanting and they are not able to raise the issue sharply, then the problem lies squarely with the constituency in question. The social compact, yes, we will make the review reports available. We are in a crisis now. We will also make, in fact, I brought in a copy of the social accord on how do we deal with the economic crisis. So I've got copies here which members can have. That explains what is it that we're trying to do. But where you are spot on is that we have a crisis now. We need to find solutions now. Cooperatives Act and the unintended consequences. I think if not a year and a half ago, this House signed off on a Cooperatives Act. So it's now law. So we have a law that's called a Cooperatives Act. What has happened is that that law, there are sections of the law that exempts special types of cooperatives from having to comply with the labor law, because it understands community co-ops as community co-ops. Now, what has happened is that some companies, out of sheer mischievous attitude, decided to change a company. They converted it into a co-op because they knew if they converted the company into a co-op, then they would be able to sidestep particular provisions in the labor law. So that's what we're saying. We're saying Cooperatives Act was not intended. It's an unintended consequence. It was not intended that companies, national companies, must then convert in order to manipulate a loophole in the law. So that's what it is. We're dealing with it. We're dealing with some of those things. We're trying to find a way around them. I'm working backwards, Madam Chair. Natu Fedusa, a while ago, they launched something called Sokutu. It's meant to be a confederation. It's a confederation of unions. So at the moment, they are just confederations of federations. So at the moment, there are only two federations, I think, and they're trying to get Consao, another federation, to also join their ranks. So as things stand right now, in NEDLAC, there are three federations that participate there. They have not as yet introduced that. They have now become one federation. So they're keeping that as separate as they would like it to be. So in NEDLAC, we continue to have three federations, and that represents the voice of labor. And I think that's going to be the case until such time that we have one federation in one country. So I think we're going to have that going forward. I don't think we're going to have a third body coming into NEDLAC and claiming to represent workers. So I think that's going to be the situation, at least for the time being. Labour broking, I think the where we are now, and Temenggosi Mkhalipi will speak on public hearings, is that we've had a chance in NEDLAC for the first bite at the conceptual level of what is this labor broking and what are they thinking. So we've had the first bite. Difficult indeed. Parties are oceans apart. Labor, until recently, they were calling for banning. That's the starting point. We ban labor broking. Business is calling for co-regulation through a statutory body. As it were, so co-regulated, calling for strong regulation. FEDUSA is also calling for co-regulation. So Labour is divided on the issue. NAPTU and COSATU are singing from the same song sheet. FEDUSA, a different song sheet. They're leaning more towards the position that is taken by business. And the department basically came in here to listen to us. Said, tell us how you see this thing. Tell us how do you see solutions. So that when we go back to our drawing board to develop, to draft the bill, at least we'll do it with the benefit of the inputs from the constituencies. So now I think the ball is in the department's court in terms of saying which elements of what Labour submitted they would like to put in a bill, and which elements of the business submissions they would like to put in a bill, and which elements of the FEDUSA aspect they're going to put in the bill. I think the real test, the real fun, is going to happen when the bill is tabled in NEDLAC. So that's where we're at. But the parties are extremely, extremely are poles apart in terms of where to from here.
Just to add for members' benefit, in terms of the program of the department, the intention is to have the bill approved by cabinet before the end of this financial year, between January, February, and published, and the same time between that time and the end of the financial year, give parties at NEDLAC to renegotiate and discuss the bill. We're hoping that in the first session of the next parliamentary session, in the next financial year, these two houses will be able to debate the bill. That is, the Select Committee and the Portfolio Committee debate the bill. Members must remember that our intervention in this is not only on labor brokers. Although everybody talks about labor brokers, we will be putting a bill on the amendments on the Employment Equity Act to strengthen the enforcement on the legislation and the issues around the fines and all those issues. We will be putting a bill to amend the Labor Relations Act to streamline some of the decisions that have been taken by the Labor Court, by the Constitutional Court in certain issues, the Sitomo case, make sure that the decisions that they are put into legislation. Therefore, we'll be putting changes in terms of that. We will be putting changes in terms of the law on the Basic Conditions of Employment Act to deal with labor tenants, those that members that come from the KZN area, Mpumalanga, that's the area that has got more labor tenants than other areas. They would know the problems that people stay in the farms and labor tenants have got who want to deal with that issue. Therefore, it's not only the labor broker. Therefore, I'm sure the question is going to be, why do we take so long to bring this issue? But I'm raising this issue so that you can understand that we want to put a full package of the issue when we amend, because the labor broker will be amending the Labor Relations Act and the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. We don't want to put a piece of amendment, then come back and put another piece of amendment. We want to put one package. That's why we say in the program. In terms of whether the public hearings were useful for us, yes, public hearings were useful, just like the discussion at NEDLAC were useful. It does help government and the executive to hear what are the views of the different stakeholders before they draft the bill and put issues on the table. But obviously, there's no obligation to please everybody. We must do the right thing. We must listen and do the right thing. We can't please everybody at every time. We've got to do what is best for the country and the labor market. Therefore, in terms of those questions, and that in terms of where we are, and in terms of whether the public hearings were useful for us, they were.
Thanks, Mkhalipi, for your help. Public hearings. NEDLAC does not go into public hearings, in the conventional public hearings, because we have a structure that does that, and we submit a collective output from there as NEDLAC. And we often get that opportunity at the stage where there is a policy semblance that is developing. When it's still at the conceptual stage, we don't. But what we do is that constituencies of NEDLAC in their own right, they will then go to public hearings. They'll do their own thing at public hearings. Because the NEDLAC process only gets triggered once the executive signals something. If the executive were to do nothing in South Africa and don't introduce any new policies, I think that might be the end of NEDLAC. Because that's what triggers NEDLAC to spring into action. Ministers must propose or must suggest something. Labor must propose something that has policy implications. Community must propose something that has policy implications. And business must do likewise in order to trigger NEDLAC to jump into action. But without that, we don't. And it has to be policy. If it has got nothing to do with policy, we don't do anything. So I suppose once the public hearings begins to gel into something that starts resembling a policy, there will be an executive authority that will take responsibility to drive it. And once that signal comes up, that's when we spring into action as NEDLAC. So that on the public hearings. The funding, we get our funding from government, the Department of Labor. And the funding is controlled by these chaps through the Executive Council and Management Committee. Now, I agree with the sentiment that says having a deficit lends itself to an interpretation that there's mismanagement of funds. In this case, it's quite nice, because if there is mismanagement of funds, it was through the authority of the governing body. So corporate governance was not flouted. They said, well, since our assets are healthy, because if you look, ultimately, if you look at this, the deficit is very much a deficit that makes no material difference, because when you look at our balance sheet looks extremely well, looks very healthy. So we're not likely to be liquidated anytime soon. So the balance sheet was fine. And those were the basis on which the Executive Council said, well, you can spend the additional $3 million, because we're dealing with electricity crisis here. You can't postpone dealing with it. We said you can't postpone dealing with the global economic crisis simply because it's not part of your planning. It's not part of your state plan. We have a crisis here. And if you do that, You would not actually be acting irresponsible. You're dealing with a national crisis. It threatens the nation. The economy will be in trouble. And it's part of your brief. So do it. So we did it on those bases, that it would be mischievous, really, for it to lend itself into that interpretation of financial mismanagement. I did mention, though, that the auditors did raise that matter. They said we deviated from our strategic plan. And the electricity crisis and xenophobic attacks and global were some of those. So it was raised in the auditing process. But the explanation was sound as to why we had to deviate. So, Honorable Member, I don't think in this particular case it will represent best planning, but it's catastrophes. I mean, if nobody knew that we were going to be in a global economic crisis, and we couldn't shift that responsibility to any other institution other than this institution, because the leadership chose to get an all-inclusive response to it. And the natural place to get an all-inclusive stance and posture is NEDLAC. So they had to come to us and say, let's do something about it. In the budget, we've got property, plant, and equipment. What is this? We own that building. We have a nice building in Rosebank. Big, nice. We bought it using the money from the Department of Labor. So we own that building. It's ours. Because we are about meetings, and we deal with executive people who are very busy and that. So we brought in facilities that will allow us for people to be part of the meeting without being physically there. They cost quite a bit. And the premises are quite nice, quite world class. Cheap furniture, but organized properly. It's quite nice. So it's that. So the plant and equipment, and the equipment is quite top of the range. We host, at the very least, the WTO at least twice a year. They come there. And we on Thursday last week, we were hosting the new chair of the NAMA negotiations at WTO. So we had to link up with him via video link. That thing is expensive. It's extremely expensive. So we had to link with him. So it's those things, Honorable Member, that makes up that. The communications with department, I mean, I think my earlier comment is departments are in NEDLAC. They're in NEDLAC. That's just some of them, they just choose to be mischievous, extremely mischievous, by just simply ignoring the protocol of why they should be tabling issues in NEDLAC. And we're dealing with it. And you may have picked up in the president's speeches, NEDLAC has been mentioned a couple of times, that that's the place where we need to be dealing with some of these issues. And also quite recently, when Parliament was dealing with the National Planning Commission's green paper, I mean, NEDLAC was mentioned quite a couple of times, that you know, we still have a role to play going forward. Okay, so I think yeah, we're finding ways of how to deal with that. Education, the link between education and poverty. Look, I can't comment on the members' take that this is in a mess. I think it's best left to the people that do your job. I'm not going to comment on that one. But what is NEDLAC going to be doing? I think it's a question I could deal with. As I was saying, the minute the Minister of Education signals that he wants to develop or tinker with policy, that's the time when we spring into action. At the moment, it's just talk. People are talking that education is in trouble, but nobody has come up with any concrete proposal that seeks to reshape or tinker with policy. But the minute that happens, that NEDLAC will come into the fray. So we're waiting also, to see if the political authority, the executive authority, is going to come up and suggest anything on education. Relationship with government and what are we doing about it? We do have a protocol that was agreed with government. And please understand, when I talk government, I'm not talking about this body. This body is way above government. I'm talking executive authority. It's a matter that we're dealing with. There is a protocol that is dealing with this matter. We conducted a NEDLAC review. We're going to be looking at this quite critically going forward. And also, we, in terms of issues coming to Parliament without first being tabled in NEDLAC, we have a scheduled meeting on the 26th of November with the Deputy President of the Republic in his capacity as the leader of government business in Parliament to deal precisely with that issue. So he's going to be coming there with his team to tell us what is the plan of Parliament going forward and what are the issues where we have an interest. And then we're going to be devising ways of how to engage with those issues going forward. So we are going to be dealing with those issues as it were. Job creation. In fact, the position you are articulating, Honorable Member, resonates so well with the position that the General Secretary of COSATU has stated publicly, that you can't talk of job creation when discounting the job losses that we're currently observing. So when we talk job creation to Zwelinzima above his eyes, it translates to net jobs created. So it's net jobs. Now, I was talking here, so I think he will agree with you, and I also tend to agree with you, that we can't say we've won the war of job creation when the economy is losing close to 1 million jobs. I mean, it's a contradiction. It just doesn't gel. It just doesn't gel. But I think you must just bear with me that the context within which I was raising the issue that we are making progress in terms of meeting the president's promise of 500,000 job opportunities by the end of the year, I was talking purely from meeting that without factoring in all other relevant factors. I leave that to you and the Zoeli Zimavava is to do. But I'm looking almost myopically to the promise and how many job opportunities have been created. And also within the context of the expanded public works. And I also did say that at the moment those figures are informal. They still need to be formalized. They are very informal, but at the look of things as we stand right now is that we are making some kind of progress. I mean, I would lose the public debate when we start raising the other dimension. I would lose it hands down. So I think you can still pursue that. The relationship with NCOP, it's very ad hoc. I think I've said that, Honorable Member Groeneval. It's very ad hoc. We need to move away from that and formalize it, as it were, going forward. And indeed, I think there is a will to formalize this relationship, because I'm the first one who will be very uncomfortable. There is a bill currently before Parliament. It's called Protection of Personal Information Bill. Before Parliament, and Parliament considering the bill, it was not tabled in NEDLAC. Yes, it's a critical bill that social partners wanted to engage with. Now, we've written to the chair of the portfolio committee. We're going to be writing to the chair of the NCOP. Now, the difficulty with bills is that they get classified the minute they land here. There are those that will find their way to NCOP, and there are those that do not, that remain in the Assembly Portfolio Committee, and that's it. So where you could help us is only on those bills that you all have some sway. So we're not sure about this bill. We may have to come for help, and I'll be the first to be uncomfortable to only come to you when we have a problem. So we need to fix, I agree, we need to fix the relationship as opposed to it being so ad hoc. The Black Economic Empowerment, curbing fronting, we're dealing with this thing on two fronts. You will recall that in 2008, I think early 2007, the criminalization of fronting was enacted. There's law now that criminalizes fronting. So if we still have fronting post the law, then the enforcement agencies need to account. So it becomes a question of enforcement. Parliament would have done its work in terms of putting in place the policy and legislative framework to curb fronting. If it still does not happen, then Parliament should be asking questions about enforcement. So it means there's some problems with the enforcement. That's the first level at which we are engaging with fronting. The second level, which is equally strategic, is procurement. That if procurement begins to ask the right questions, that will begin to discourage fronting. Because what is happening, for an example, in the pharmaceutical industry, is that people get tenders when they are actually not the manufacturers. They are just brokers. I mean, they're just guys who source from somewhere else. They are middle people. So that could be a huge problem. So we could use local procurement and local procurement specifically as an instrument to deal with fronting. As it were. So it's a range of instruments that are there. And we are currently, as you may well be aware, that National Treasury has published preferential procurement regulations for public comment. And we're dealing with that currently in NEDLAC to look at how we can use local procurement and procurement generally as an instrument not only to support local industries, but also as an instrument to curb fronting. What is local procurement? Is local procurement, does it mean that we just have Mkhize and Associates as a procurer locally, but who buys all the stuff from Europe? So we need to define, and the regulations are trying to help us define that at the policy level. We have not cracked this. It's a huge problem. We still need to deal with it. The promotion of SMME and some of the difficulties there. The biggest difficulty with SMME is government. Biggest difficulty. In terms of PFMA, invoices must be paid within 30 days. But that doesn't happen. So if there's the biggest culprit that kills SMMEs, I want to submit to the risk of losing my job when I leave here, is government. Government. Kill SMMEs. I think the second culprit in that kills SMMEs is regulation. It's an area that has been studied. We still haven't seen the review, but the Department of Trade and Industry some 2.5 years ago was charged with the responsibility of reviewing the regulatory framework for SMMEs. So it's an issue that we're still waiting for government to signal in terms of how do we deal with SMMEs. There have been interventions. Some of you will recall that President Mbeki, the former president of the Republic of South Africa, in one of, I can't remember the State of the Nation address which it was, but did say that government was going to ring fence 10 products for procurement by SMMEs. Done. I mean, government has even gone to an extent of identifying which products those are. But what happened, for that to materialize, you need to fix the regulatory framework, or the legislative framework that regulates procurement. Now, what has happened, products have been identified, but the process to tweak and align the law that governs procurement has not been finalized. So you've got an excellent intervention, but it's stuck. It can't move unless the law that regulates that activity is aligned. It's one of the areas that we're looking at, and the DTI has got a range of incentives and range of interventions and support measures to help SMMEs, the feeders, quite a lot. So it's a question of implementation, in my view, in terms of how to take this thing forward. But the obstacles we all know, funding and the interventions to deal with them, as it were, going forward. So SMME is a challenge. It's even a challenge right now in the processes on the global economic crisis, that some of our solutions to the unemployment would come from SMME. So there's a big push in terms of taking that issue forward. Development Chamber is weak. What are we doing about it? As recent as last month, we have taken it now. I mean, if it was a local government, we would say that local government is under administration. We have taken the Development Chamber into the Executive Director's office. I am now responsible for that chamber as from last month. I'm responsible for the chamber in its entirety. And the idea is to stabilize it and give it direction. Once that has happened, because I'm working with, there's somebody who's shadowing me, and so I'm doing it literally myself. There's somebody who's shadowing me to fix the chamber. We're meeting on the 12th. Tomorrow. We're meeting tomorrow as a first cut of a plan. There's a plan to fix that chamber, and we're going to fix it. So next time I get invited to come and brief you, please ask this question as to how are we doing in fixing the development chamber. But we're fixing it because I believe personally that it's a chamber that is so powerful in NEDLAC, but it does not realize its power, and it's not using its power. And of course, I have a vested interest in that chamber, in that I'm a member of one of the community organizations that are represented there. So, I mean, if they misrepresent the views of communities, they mean they misrepresent myself as well. So I do have a vested interest in making sure that it works. Forum Hopping, you are spot on, Honorable Member. It's just semantics. It's one and the same thing. It means the same thing. It must not be prohibited. Forum Hopping must not be prohibited because it could be used as an instrument to complement what we're doing. Classical example. If we get stuck on a particular issue, and in labor broking is going to be one of those, and we think that a presidential working group can be an instrument that can unlock the bottleneck, why not? So it could be useful. There's discussions right now on climate change and the Copenhagen processes. And those processes are not in NEDLAC. It's very much outside of NEDLAC. But NEDLAC has encouraged constituencies to be part of that process. And the brief for them, be part of the process that is driven by Department of Environmental Affairs, but you must just keep an eye for things that have policy implications. when you pick up something that has policy implications, that's when we then come to NEDLAC. So we encourage this because it helps us. The Millennium Labour Council, for an example, is another structure where the leadership of business and labour come together to look at issues. When we get stuck in NEDLAC on a particular issue, we sometimes, in a very subtle way, ask that LMC to deal with it. To say, look, labour and business in NEDLAC, because they have to articulate mandates, can't solve it. Now, in the MLC, you don't need a mandate to talk on issues. So sometimes they help us. So while it is useful, if it is used responsibly, Forum Hopping can be an interesting instrument. But the gripe we're raising here is used with malicious intent, as the Forum Hopping is not used constructively. People are using it to supplant what NEDLAC should be doing in any way. So it's used to undermine NEDLAC. So that's where I have an issue. But we are aware of it, Honorable Member. Public lessons in the labor broking, it's hard for me, so I'm not going to comment on that. You did give me that privilege or that opportunity or option not to dive into them. Challenges in the cooperatives and labor standards, I think I've covered that. Those were the challenges. Public hearings, I've covered that. Clothing and textile, a huge problem. What is it that we have done as NEDLAC? Two clinical examples of what is it that we have done. Because the first is, you will recall the quotas that were slammed on China. Difficult issue, but we ran with that issue and we were successful. We had quotas for 2 years, and an assessment has been made on whether or not it had any impact. Because the idea of those quotas was to create space, breathing space, for the industry to build capacity to deal with Chinese. So that's the first thing we did. I'm not privileged to indicate whether that worked. There are different views out there whether the quota has worked or not worked in any way positive. The second intervention was a trade measure. What we did, we've asked the clothing and textile industry to identify strategic items in the tariff book and identify those that are strategic and those that could help us to deal with unemployment, and then approach ITAC, which is the Independent Trade Administration Commission, to ask for tariffs to be increased so that we can protect those products, as it were. We also looked at those products in terms of the bound and applied rates, and in those areas where there is water, we looked at upping the tariffs. Now, that was done. And I'm happy to say that ITAC has done the investigation and they have agreed to increase tariffs in quite a number of the strategic lines in the tariff book. And SARS has signed off, the Minister of Trade and Industry has signed off. So it's a done deal. So we've gone for protection, if you like, for strategic products that in the clothing and textile industry. It's still early days to see if that is going to work. The third intervention is customs and excise. You know, illegal goods that end up in South Africa. Now, SARS is doing an excellent piece of work. I mean, if you look at the data on how many goods have been seized by SARS, the data speaks volumes. So we're doing some work there. We're also revamping the customs and excise law to deal specifically with the customs fraud, goods that come into South Africa illegally. So we're doing something there. Now, in terms of the role that NEDLAC is playing, it's precisely in that area in terms of how do we deal with the clothing and textile industry. It's in those areas, Honorable Members. And then NAMA.
Honorable Chair, please, if you don't mind. Okay, but I think it's important for NEDLAC that we must have really a look into the Chinese involvement in South Africa as well as in Africa. I've got information, and it's not clarified, but I don't think it is wrong information, that China is getting heavily involved in Zimbabwe at this stage, and they got title deeds of land, and I'm worried about that. They also try to invest a lot in South Africa. We don't mind those for the money they bring in. We need it. But at the end of the day, they also bring their people into South Africa, our own people is losing jobs at this stage. And we've now, another nation is coming in, and I'm a bit worried about that. They bring their people in, and they get the jobs in our land, and they bring their factories to South Africa, and that will be, I'm quite sure, in the future, we will have problems with that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think just two areas to touch on, and that will conclude my responses. I think the one is with respect to China. Look, I don't think we need to be so obsessed with China's access to our markets, and in the process end up forgetting that South Africa has a diplomatic relationship with China, formal. At the political level, there are those diplomatic relationships. Whilst there is no talk of a free trade agreement with China, I think it should not actually result or end up being we don't do anything with China, and we end up giving the impression that China is bad. So we must just guard against that. We must just guard against that. China is one of the members of the WTO. China is our trading partner, and we must not forget that the bulk of our raw material at the moment is exported to China. I mean, they could also switch off the tap. So it's an area that is delicate. It's a very delicate area in which we need to look at going forward. And then, Chair, the last issue is about the PDCs, especially the infant one in the baby in Mpumalanga that has been launched a couple of weeks ago, and how is it going to make sure that its work resonates with what we're doing at a national level, and how to ensure that the synergy in what we're doing. That in part, it was part of the reason why I was part of that launch, was to make sure that we don't end up undermining what each institution at a different level was doing. And it's accepted that NEDLAC at a national level, its job is mainly to do broad frameworks. But the job of a NEDLAC at the provincial level will be that of developing strategies and concrete action plans to deal with the dynamics and the unique or peculiar situations that obtain in each province. So I think going forward, it's something that we can watch quite carefully, so that we don't end up with a PDC or a NEDLAC in Mpumalanga that starts saying things that contradicts what Zwelinzima Mavavi says on behalf of COSATU at NEDLAC at a national level. So we've got to find a way of how we deal with those issues. I did not mention, but there is also a NEDLAC in Northwest. There is one in the Western Cape. So it's not only Mpumalanga that has established these networks. Western Cape, they do have one, but it's got problems at the moment, serious, serious challenges in that one. And there is one in Northwest. The last time I had a chat with them, it was working quite well. And EXEC in the Eastern Cape, yes, EXEC in the Eastern Cape. So provinces are coming on board slowly in terms of building their own.
Why is NEDLAC not taking a decision to establish a uniformly in all provinces?
Yeah, that's the last one. Okay. when this debate came up, I mean, the leadership, those guys sitting there, they said they would not want to encourage a situation where they create a situation where someone from a provincial level is given a platform to stand up and disagree with a leader who's articulating a position at national level. I mean, Zolim Zimbabwe said, look, what I say at national level, I would be very uncomfortable if a provincial secretary in KZN stands up there in a platform and disagree with me. And to find that I was part of creating the very platform to give this provincial secretary to disagree with me. So it was those considerations that it will really become very clumsy if you do that. But the initiatives, because what will happen if Vavi is serious about what he's saying, that he doesn't want the provincial secretary to stand up and contradict him, is that you'll find that in Mpumalanga NEDLAC, the position, I mean, Zweli will give the text to the people at Mpumalanga that this is what we say. So they will be saying the same thing throughout the country. So those were some of the reasons why the idea of having, they were calling them PEDLECs, Provincial Economic Development and Labor Council. The idea came up that, no, look, we can't have that structure. But if a province wants to establish something like this, they're more than welcome to do so. But it should not be the initiative that is driven or triggered by NEDLAC. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Honorable, you want to say something? Just be brief.
Yes.
Straight to the point.
Yes. No, I want to open another, but there wasn't one which I'm not satisfied, but the issue of the Doha crowns. And then when I've asked, with reasons why I've asked them, that what can be the role which can be played by NEDLAC? Because I know very well that there are a lot of agreements that are being signed. Which can weaken the position or the strength of SADC as well as ECOWAS as I've indicated? I want to increase any question just there.
Yeah, no, I think the honourable member is spot on that what has happened is that Europe and US have adopted a strategy of divide and rule. They're going into these economic blocks, and because we have a lot of them now. We have NAMA 11, we have now India, Brazil, Russia, we have IBSA. We have a lot of these blocks that negotiate certain positions at the WTO. And then we have EPA, this Economic Partnership Agreement, which is driven very much by the EU. When it became clear that unless it was signed within a particular period, then they would miss the window in terms of the WTO rules, then EU went into SACU big time, because that agreement is signed between the EU and SACU, the South African Customs Union. So they went into SACU to get that EPA signed, and SACU was divided. South Africa, Namibia, and Angola refused to sign because they said that if that agreement is not helping to progress the cause of South Africa or their countries. But other countries, Swaziland, Mozambique, and other countries, they signed. So in effect, threatening to collapse the oldest customs union in the world, SACU. SACU is the oldest customs union in the world. And it's the only one that is still, you know, out there. But when the EU came in and divided SACU on this issue, that actually has the potential of collapsing SACU. What is it that NEDLAC can do? I was reporting, honorable member, that on Thursday last week, we had a session with the NAMA chair, Ambassador Washeshka. He's the new chair of NAMA. He replaces the Canadian chap who was the chair. Now, the Canadian chap was not showing any leniency to South Africa. And I must tell you that the WTO, South Africa is seen as a naughty boy of the developing economy. We are the naughty boys. We are the guys who are blocking conclusions of certain deals. But of course, as I said earlier on, the position of South Africa is developed in NEDLAC at that TESELECO Standing Committee. So South Africa, through that committee, is punching way above its weight in terms of making sure that that the development position in WTO is not sold out. So I think Chair, we are doing something to deal with that issue, and I don't think we're going to give up as a country.
Thank you very, very much for the presentation and the responses. And as we said earlier, we will now communicate timely so that we are informed of what is happening, and we are also informed beside what is happening. So on that note, we thank you very much, and but you can remain seated because there is lunch. But before we go for lunch, honorable members, we've got to adopt the minutes. We've got the minutes with us. They were distributed to you. I'll start with the minutes of the 19th of August, so that we adopt the minutes and then we are done. So you can enjoy being with us, Mr. Mkhalid. Page 1, honorable members, the minutes of the 19th, I was made to understand that all of you did receive the minutes. If you don't have, if you left them in your offices, maybe they can be distributed. Page 1 of the minutes of the 19th of August, attendance, are you all recorded? Honorable Lenza. What's wrong?
I don't have.
But you did receive the minutes.
Yeah.
You did receive the minutes. We made sure that we distribute minutes so that you go through them. And then page 2, can you give Mr. Lenza? Yeah, minutes, the National Council of Provinces, we had a strategic training workshop. That's the page. Any corrections there? Mlenza Nwamphok. Ngutembe.
Let's move on.
Okay. Okay, yeah, those are the minutes. The last page 3. Are we in agreement with the minutes?
Yes.
Any mover? Honorable Krunevar, seconded by Honorable Jacobs. The minutes of the 26th of August. Page 1, attendance. Okay, page 2, any correction? Page 3, page 4, page 5, oh, Honorable Jacob, page 4.
Page 4, bullet 2, the last sentence.
Bullet 2, the lesson 10. Challenges?
No. Is it 4 or what?
Huh? Can you read that?
1, 2, 3, 4. No, I'm on 5.
Oh, you are on 5, okay.
Second bullet, last sentence. As a result, there were 4 companies.
Oh, as a result, there were 4.
That's 4.
4 E.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, before it's wrongly spelled. Thanks, honorable member. Page 6. Page 7. Are we in agreement with the minutes? Any mover and seconder, honorable Felsman, seconded by honorable Mlenza. The minutes of the 2nd of September, page 1, attendance. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4.
Page.
Honorable Jacob.
The first paragraph, I don't know what it is.
Page.
The third sentence. Page 4. The first paragraph, the third sentence, we say the DG Federal mentioned with the very serious spelling there. Very.
The DG Federal mentioned the very. Very. And serious is also wrong. Thank you very much, Honorable Jacob. Page 5. Yeah, you know, it's good. Are we in agreement with what? Any mover? Honorable Mabija, seconded by Honorable De Beer. Minute of the 16th of October, attendance. Huh? Oh, 16th September, what did I say? Okay, 16th September, I'm sorry. Attendance. Second page. Third page. Fourth page. Fifth page. Are we in agreement? Mover and a seconder, Honorable Feldman, seconded by Honorable Groenewald. Then the minutes of the 7th of October, first page. Second page. Third page. Fourth page. 5, 6, 7. Agreed. Are we in agreement?
Yeah.
Any mover? Honorable Mabija, you can't move because you were not signed. Honorable Groenewald, seconded by Honorable Jacob. Minutes of the 14th of October, first page, second page, 3, 4, 5, 5. Agreed. Mover, Honorable Feldman, seconded by Honorable DPS. The last minute. Fourth. Where's my agenda? Yeah, I've got the fourth. She took my ass on the 28th. Is that
drinking your own medicine?
Drink your own medicine. Yes, that's me now. You know, today I'm not well, I'm quiet. Don't start with me. Okay, the 28th of October. The first one, first page, second page, third page, the fourth one. Agree?
Yes.
Honorable Groenewald, seconded by Honorable Mlenza. The fourth, first page. 2, 3, 4, 5. Any mover? Honorable Mlenza, seconded by Honorable Mabija and Honorable Jacob.
No, I want to raise something.
Oh, here's my minute. I told you I'm not okay. Honorable Jacobs, right?
Chair, I don't know, in this minute, there are issues that need follow-up. So how are we going to deal with this?
Propose something, Honorable. Propose what should happen.
Out of order. Sorry, let me correct something, Chairperson, with my wit. Please, colleagues, this is about adoption of the minutes with and correction of the minutes. If there is something which is supposed to happen in terms of follow-ups, that is something else. That is procedural in terms of protocol. We supposed, including myself, to note some of the things we're supposed to make a follow-up somewhere. There is a platform for that. Thank you.
Okay, but I think what will happen, Honorable Jacobs and Honorable Subanda, I think we will request the secretary of the committee to take out, you know, issues that need follow-up and give it to the committee, and we together, we will sit down and come up with a, you know, plan of action of what we're going to do on that.
I wanted to contest what the...
Don't contest. I'm not in a good mood for listening to so that's what will happen. And she has recorded that. She's going to sit down with the minutes and then just take out issues that need follow-up. And then as the committee together, we will see what we will come up with a plan of action. Because definitely, yes, there are issues that need follow-up. Thank you. The meeting, thank you.
Just before you say the meeting.
Yeah, okay.
That's one
thing. On these two judgments, I'm not proposing that discussion. But the draft program of for 2010.
Okay,
just give us direction.
Okay, ignore that one. Next week. Ignore that one because I saw something on that one. I spoke to the secretary. So next week we'll look at the program for the next term because we are still here next week.
Can we begin with
Okay. If you can email us before. So that yes, definitely. As usual, she will do that. And thank you. I want to thank you very much, Honorable Member. We'll see you later in the chat. Thank you. And Mr. Mkali, thank you very much, and Mr. Mkizi. You know, you must thank Mr. Mkali very much. The members didn't go so much because they see Mr. Mkali. The meeting is adjourned.
I don't know.